from the clubhouse to the tailgates and beyond.
Fly ball, deep left, gone!
Welcome to Brewers Weekly. Here's your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Hello, hello, Brewers Weekly, coming off of a series winner against the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, it was all doom and gloom on Wednesday, not in the postgame show, but the Brewers got back on track. Granted, a big blow in Thursday's finale. Yes, they win 13-1. This is less of a recap than more it is about reacting to all of the stuff we heard. So obviously here at the top of the program, the headline that the Brewers are dealing with right now is how is Brandon Woodruff feeling? So we'll hear from Pat Murphy in just a moment. We will not be hearing from Brandon Woodruff because when we were in the clubhouse, he had already departed the ballpark to go get an MRI on his shoulder. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Thursday he had the start against the Diamondbacks. He came out topping out at 85 with his fastball. Now, this isn't that abnormal, I promise, because if you look back at his first inning so far this season, it'd be, all right, 88, then 89, then, you know, crank it up and boom, it's 92 again, and it's back to the new normal for Brandon Woodruff. But we never saw him be able to switch it into a new gear. He was always stuck in third gear, if you will. It was, honestly, again, I'm not a pitching coach, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a biomechanic, but it didn't look right. It just visually, for somebody that we all have seen virtually his entire career, we have watched him pitch, we know what normal Brandon Woodruff looks like, and it did not look like that. It looked like he was holding back, and Pat Murphy describes it, you'll hear in a moment, he describes it as dead arm, and pitchers know what that sounds like and knows what that feels like. Now, we did not talk to Woody, like I said, but Murph describes it well, and you know everyone is hoping for the best for him. We'll talk about the rotation options the Brewers have behind him. What does this actually mean for the Brewers rotation? And then we'll actually look at this depth because it's been sneaky great for the Brewers and the reason why they're heading into May with an above 500 record. But before we move any further, I want to remind you, if you're listening live here on 620 WTMJ tonight, these are taped programs now. So I would encourage you to sit back, relax. You can catch this in podcast form and audio, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Or first thing Friday morning, it'll be available on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page as well. Now, the goal of it is that it can work on both video and audio, but just a reminder that everything is taped, so we're not taking calls, we're not answering texts, or that sort of thing in this program. Now, without further ado, though, let's get the update from manager Pat Murphy on how Big Woo is feeling.
Murph, what's the latest on Woody?
Yeah, he doesn't feel like he's injured. He said my arm's dead and nothing's coming out. I think we just have to be really cautious here. We're going to get him checked out. We're going to get him tested. We're going to give him everything he needs just in case with his history. But, we've seen it where he came down, his velocity's down early and then it climbs. We were waiting to see in the second inning if it climbed, that it was down as low as it's ever been. And then and we think maybe some rest he can build back up. And then, you know, people go through stuff like this. Hopefully, you know, he's solid and there's no injury there. That would be awful. But I think he'll be down for a while. I'm not going to say right now before any of these tests get done or that type of thing. But it seems like something he's going to be able to work through.
IL, just to clarify.
We haven't made a final decision on that. That's in the conversation.
Was there any indication before he got on the palm that things were off, or was it actually start?
And when he warms up every time, Jack, he warms up like that. 84, 85, you know, nothing special. Locate, get his feel for his change, his cutter. And then when he got to the mound, it didn't change at all. You know, and then he's, after the first inning, we said, hey, man, what do we got? And he said, well, let me go back and see if I can get a little extra. And then you're starting to think, wait a minute, we don't want him to get a little extra and then maybe something happens to him, with these strains or whatever. So I think it's a process he's got to go through.
Was there anything in the recovery from the last start leading up to it that was just off in his
Remember, week? We took him out early. Remember, we took him out after five. We could have left him in. It was a low pitch count. He was prompting that, you know, like, hey, this might be a good spot. We were ahead in the game, I believe, or whatever, a good lead or something. And he's like, well, this might be a dysfunction. So when he's talking like that, I'm like, oh, but he said he, it wasn't like he was injured. He just, he knows himself pretty well.
On that note, Woody, he's just a guy that will always let you know when something's wrong.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. He's been through too much.
So non-committal about whether or not he's going on the IL, and I understand they want to make sure that they get the imaging back, get a diagnosis, get time to evaluate what's going on here. But honestly, from the odds of him making what would likely be his next scheduled start to be either Tuesday or Wednesday against the Cardinals, likely Tuesday, I would imagine they want to keep him on that six-day cycle. I wouldn't think that's going to happen right now. And we'll find out more probably when the team goes on the road to D.C., see what happens, see what the results of those MRIs are, and we'll talk about that in the post-game show on Friday and even in the pre-game show on Saturday, too, here on the radio. But it stings, it hurts, it's frustrating. But then you sit here and go, well, wait a minute. How excited was everybody to watch Coleman Crowe make his big league debut? How excited was everybody to watch Shane Drouin deliver some bulk today? And you'll hear from Shane, who collected his first big league win today. That's big news for him. Or how exciting it is to have both Robert Gasser and Logan Henderson available down in AAA. Now, they both, at the time of recording, are scheduled to pitch in a doubleheader today for the Nashville Sounds. And I would imagine they're both going to pitch. It just now especially becomes important and imperative that if this is the day that they're pitching, that one of them could be the spot replacement next Tuesday, or you keep Shane Drouin in this spot, shift him into a starter's role, and then maybe you bring up somebody else like a Logan Henderson who could be a reliever and a bulk guy like Drouin has been to be available in the right place at the right time. The point of this is to say the Brewers have a lot more depth than you may realize in the starting rotation, but that being said, it's very young depth, and I think that last year's team really taught the Brewers this lesson. There's no such thing as too much pitching depth, and they needed every bit of it last year, but a lot of that had to do with injuries, of course. Like right now, the Brewers don't have Quinn Priester, but he is on his way back. He is scheduled to throw in Friday's game for Nashville in his third rehab outing, and then you've obviously now maybe have an unknown around Brandon Woodruff. Last year, it seemed like everything hit the fan all at once. Woody wasn't available at the start of the year. Tobias wasn't available until the end of April. You also had Savali go down after two starts. Cortez go down after two starts. I mean, it was everything all at once, whereas this has been kind of like a slow little drip, but there are guys available. Now, you may be wondering, why hasn't Robert Gasser pitched in the big league so far this year? He was dealing with some tenderness early in the season, but he has already made an appearance since coming back from that tenderness. Skipping his turn in the rotation was not technically long for the IL, but he is pitching tonight. We'll be closely monitoring that box score for Nashville and talk about it in the post-game show on Friday. So as frustrating and, disappointing. Disappointing is too strong of a word, I feel. I feel gutted for Woody, given all he wants to do is be available at the end of the year. But here we are on April 30th, and there's already concerns about his velo and about what's going on under the hood. So we'll withhold judgment, we'll withhold hitting the panic button or lowering the DEFCON level based on until we get those results from the MRI. So let's shift our perspective here now. Let's get happy and let's congratulate the newest recipient of a beer shower, of course, the greatest tradition in baseball. You didn't talk about that, of course. But Shane Drouin gets his first big league win, going four strong, four strikeouts. Didn't walk a batter. The command was fantastic. Pat Murphy agreed with that as well. Let's hear from both Shane and Murph on picking up W number one for the left-hander acquired this past offseason.
Shane, with Woody leaving the game in the second inning, just kind of take us through what the group is thinking and feeling out there, knowing that you guys are going to have to carry the load the rest of the way.
I felt like we were all ready to go. Whatever the team needed, I think everybody down there was willing to do it. Sometimes that can happen. It's part of the game, so you just got to be ready at any moment.
Can you think about your stuff these last few outings? What pitches do you feel like you've been able to execute the best?
I think it all starts with just commanding fastball. I think just everything plays off of that. Been having a good mix with all the pitches, but mainly just the fastball, putting in the zone where I want it, elevating down at the knees, in and out. So I think it all starts there.
What's the feedback that you try to gather from whether it be hitter swings or your own reports of things that you know that you're starting to see that you're capable of in the big leagues?
Yeah, I think it's just trusting the info, all the department gives us, and then just focusing on executing. Sometimes, you know, you can read swings. Other times, it's just stick to the scouting report. I feel like 2-3 times through the order, that's when you're, you know, really relying on reading the swings. And I felt like William helped me out a lot there. But, yeah.
You ever pitched 4 innings on one day rest? And what was that experience like?
I have not. No, that was the first time. But overall, it was, you know, nothing too crazy, nothing I didn't feel like I couldn't handle. You know, just sticking to the routine every day. You know, I prepare the same way to throw, whether it's for 60 feet or, you know, 5 or 6 innings. So I think it's just all goes back to that routine.
Have you talked to Woodruff at all? Or how's he doing?
No, I haven't seen him.
How did it feel to pick up your first win?
Felt great. Got the first one out of the way, so hopefully a lot more to come.
On a brighter note, Drouin to pick him up on the back end of that. Granted, the offense was awesome too for him, but for Drouin to give you the bulk that you guys hope for.
You think about Contreras catching this many games in a row and putting out the numbers he did today. Contreras was amazing. And to catch how many different pitchers today? 6 different pitchers today and a long, you know, day game after night game, him to put up that offensive game he did, and then Drouin was, he was spectacular. Here's a rookie in his third appearance, I believe his third appearance, and throwing 4 innings of, I don't know, I guess he gave up 1 run, but he was great. Everybody that threw today was very good.
All right, so congrats to Shane. Now let's shift off of the pitching after a quick breather, and let's talk about the offense because, wow, 2 very different ways to play a game with the 2 wins and the 1 loss. Seems like an easy culprit to point out, right? Back with more after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. The Brewers get 2 blowout laugher wins. I mean, this was silly game territory. Once again, a position player pitching in Thursday's win. James McCann trying to close it out with 32-mile-an-hour EFIS pitches. Fun fact, you are not allowed to ABS challenge when a position player is on the mound. Not that it mattered because the Brewers are once again exhausted of their challenges. When I look at the box score, the hits obviously jump out. The homers, the Brewers, again, Sal Frelick loving to hit against the Diamondbacks, clearly, having the home run to break the drought on Tuesday, and then having the home run again today. So he's up to 3 on the season. William Contreras hit his 3rd on the season. He had been close a couple of times, and I want to play his audio through team coach Daniel DeMondesert about finally getting one over the wall, because Pat Murphy was even hinting about it today. It's like, hey, when you start pressing a little too hard and trying to get a little bit more when you just, you know, when you are close, good things are going to happen, and William agrees.
Yeah, you know, same thing that I've been working on since the beginning of season. You know, just been working hard to, you know, get that hard contact. And like you said, you know, some of this hard contact just hasn't left the yard. And you know, today it was able to. So just going to keep on, you know, working hard, keep on working to do whatever I can to help the team win, and just to be as consistent as possible.
Also wanted to talk to Sal Frelick, and you'll hear from him in just a moment. But in this box score today, 14 hits for the Brewers, and yet only 5 of them were for extra bases. A lot like we saw on Tuesday night with the parade of singles in that big 6th inning. Once again, though, the Brewers, they had a ton of opportunities with runners in scoring position, and I'm never going to complain about scoring 13 runs. Some of this is putting the ball in play and some walks and some timely hitting. The Brewers still just went 4-for-16 with runners in scoring position in this game. Now, just 4-for-16 is still a .250 batting average. That's still pretty darn good. And there were nearly 500, what was it, the other night on Tuesday. So the offense is built on getting hits with runners in scoring position. If, you know, 4-for-16 is sustainable. Now, you would like that to be more like maybe a, you know, a 6-for-16 to get even more runs on the board. But again, we can't complain about get 13 runs against the Diamondbacks. And mind you, we talked about Michael Soroka on Wednesday night's postgame show. How he was one of the team leaders in strikeouts for the Diamondbacks. He had been having a great season to this point. And the Brewers made him throw 35 pitches in the first inning, that drag him mentality that the Brewers have showcased so well from the guys like Sal Frelick and others. So Sal goes yard again Just a couple of quick hitters here with Sal, just about the offense, about him, because he's got nearly an 800 OPS over his last 12 games. He's starting to hit the ball better. He's got more homers and strikeouts over his last 12 games, and I'll let him explain.
The last, week, do you feel the plate, the performance has been getting a little bit better? Or how do you react the last week or so? Can you point to a day that it's been moving in the right direction?
No, I mean, it's felt the same the whole year, honestly. Like, I feel good every time I step in the box. Just, I think as of late, just gotten more hits. So, like, I'm obviously going to be happier with result-wise, but, like, you don't always want to look at that. Just, it's a long year, and, you know, sometimes you don't find holes, sometimes you do. But for the most part, like, when I step in the box, it's felt the same the whole year. I feel like I'm seeing it well, and, yeah.
Yeah, seeing it well, I mean, the plate discipline, like the numbers agree. Is there a conscious effort there? Is there an adjustment, or is it just experience?
I mean, yeah, well, both. I think from last year, too, like definitely making a leap to, especially with two strikes, you know, be more, not patient, but like I can hit balls and put balls in play with two strikes that are two balls out. Mm-hmm. And kind of made an effort this year, like let's not swing at those, even though I can put it in play and maybe get a hit, but like, you know, work counts a little more that way. And so that was kind of a conscious effort. But then, seeing guys multiple times, like understanding how they're going to attack you and maybe just eliminating a part of the zone has all helped with just swinging the strikes and taking balls.
How long does it take for an offense to feel like you've got enough plate appearances to feel like, okay, like no one's ever feeling great at all times, I know, yeah. But like, 100 plate appearances, it's still very early.
I would say, and Yelly honestly was a guy that told me this my first year, that, and I don't know if it's for like a team, but for each individual guy, 500 at bats is like the sample size to be like, okay, that's a portion for, let's evaluate this. Mm-hmm. Obviously you can look at less, but you know, over those 500 plate appearances, you're probably gonna have 200 that you feel not good, 200 that you feel great, and 100 in between. So it's like, you know, if you're evaluating after the 200, you feel awful. It's like, well, the next 200 might be great. So, you know, that's why we play so many games, and you know, that's why guys have good months, bad months. But it's such a long season that it's usually that, like, not even a full year, but like up there with plate appearances.
So, a couple of keys about the offense that I really want to point out right now for the Crew: the fact that they don't hit a lot of homers. Still doesn't quite concern me. Granted, it is very, very low. I mean, they're in bottom five in baseball in hitting home runs. They've only hit 22 now in the season. That is including Thursday's pair from William and from Sal. And that's only one ahead of the Boston Red Sox, who we know have not hit any, and only three ahead of the San Francisco Giants, who have had a weird start to their season. Two back of the Mets, one back of the Marlins. But then I just sit here and remind myself, Yelly's hurt, Vaughn's hurt, Churio's hurt. In 100 plate appearances for Vaughn and Churio, there's probably three or four right there in each of them. So that's, let's say, six, and maybe one or two more from Yelly that he's missed in the last 2 weeks since he's been on the injured list. So that's eight. And if they were at 30, they're right at league average. They're right amongst the pack. I think the Brewers, if they are league average by the end of the season when it comes to slugging percentage and total homers hit, that is a bonus, in my opinion, because given how injured they've been here in this first month of the year, and more on Jackson and Andrew in a moment, but given how much of a, you know, a head start you're essentially giving the rest of the league when it comes to some of these counting stats in the power department. But sometimes I sit here and go, hey, what's the most important thing? It's to just score more runs than the other team. And the Brewers are still a top six offense when it comes to runs scored. 160 runs scored in their first 30 games of the season. I mean, averaging better than 5 runs a game. Yes, there's some outliers in there with another double-digit game here today against the Diamondbacks, just like they had on Tuesday. They're not going to average 5 runs a game the entire season, but if you can stay above 4.5, that's where the elite teams live for the entire year. And there will be a week again where the Brewers feel like, oh my God, they can't score a run. They can't get things going in the right direction. What the heck is wrong with them? That's going to be A-OK. But the stats that they lead and are among the leaders are They're still leading baseball in walks drawn. They're in the top five in on-base percentage. They're in the bottom five in grounded into double plays this season. Isn't that kind of fascinating given how many base runners the Brewers have had in opportunities for double plays? The Brewers have only hit into 15 of them this season in 30 games. That's sneaky impressive, also given how many ground balls the Brewers are hitting right now as a team. So things are going to level out after 1 month, but I just want to point out the other thing about the Brewers is not just the health, but the guys like Luis Renjifo, who had an 0-for-20 that bring down their numbers, or even the guys like in the outfield, the Brewers have had kind of a revolving door right now in left field. Brandon Lockridge is starting to swing the bat better, but Greg Jones, I mean, just to be blunt and just to be just sort of transparent, when Churio returns, Greg's the guy probably headed down to AAA because he's optionable, or even Blake Perkins is optionable. That's a decision to make when Andrew Vaughn comes back, if they come back at the same time. So you can see improvement coming, and like we said on Wednesday, you don't want to put all the pressure in saying, oh, you Vaughn and Churio coming back, they got to be 4-for-4 every night. You're still seeing Bowers playing well. It was great to see Garrett Mitchell have a great game today, too, because he needed it after being in such a funk the last week or so. A couple of base hits, a couple of walks, and I'm really starting to come around, at least until Churio returns, of course, on Garrett in the leadoff spot. I think his plate discipline is very good. I know he swings and misses and strikes out a lot, and you don't want strikeouts at the top of your order, but you don't mind walks either. You don't mind the threat of a steal right at the jump. And him going first to home on that double by Contreras in the first inning, that's just a reminder of the talent and the runner, the base runner that he is. Even Jake Bowers on his first to third dash and him scoring from first on the double by Renjifo. There are so many great base runners, not just pure speed. Now, Garrett's pure speed. Bowers is a great base runner. I think the Brewers are in a really, really good spot to add the lineup that it was always supposed to look like. Think about this for a second. Since 1969, when the divisions were introduced, the National League has never had a division. Everybody above 500, at or above 500 on May 1st. And that is the NL Central right now. And the Brewers are 16-14, and some folks are acting like the sky is falling. Even with everything that I just laid out for you, now you might be without Woodruff. You've been without Priester. You've been without Vaughn. You've been without Churio. And you've had about half this month without Yelly. This team's pretty good. I still stand by this take 1 month in that this team is better than last year's team as far as on paper. It just won't be that easy to win 97 games. This division is going to come down in the final week of the season. I just know it. All right, let's take a breather and shift gears. We're getting away from the big league club. Let's go down to the farm and check in on the Biloxi Shuckers and a guy that is raking right now down there in the Southern League. Back with more after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, continuing on, as we mentioned, Blake Burke joining the program. Big thank you to the Shuckers and Javik Blake for giving us a little bit of time. Here at the time of recording, now this is before Thursday's game, so if he hits three homers tonight, so be it. We missed it, but we're topical here. Burke coming into tonight, a .242 average, but a .934 OPS. He leads the Southern League with eight homers. He's got seven doubles there as well. And again, what's regarded as a pitcher's league. He's been phenomenal so far this season, and really happy to have him join us here on Brewers Weekly. Pleased to be joined now by Brewers prospect first baseman Blake Burke. Blake, first of all, what a start to your season. How are things gone being back in Biloxi? I know you got a taste of it at the end of last season, now opening the season in the Southern League. What's been clicking for you so far, man?
Just kind of believing the work I put in the offseason. And I mean, just believing in myself, taking my swing. Trying to work on swinging my pitch more, you know, being more patient at the plate. But I mean, also want to get my swing off too. So, I mean, I feel like when I get my swing off and I connect, then good things happen.
Define your swing. Like, what does it feel? We can get mechanical. We can get, you know, very specific. Or what are the things that you cue in to say, like, yeah, that's a swing that I'm proud of?
I'm not very mechanical. I'm very mindset based. So when I get in there, I don't want to feel rushed. I want to be ready for whatever pitch is coming. And I mean, when in doubt, I'm probably going to swing. I'm pretty aggressive up there. So I mean, I'm going up there to hit. And I mean, normally good things happen when I touch the ball. So that's basically what I'm trying to do.
Well, when I look at, you know, your power numbers, and when I look at, your batting average is still very good for somebody with a prototypical slugger style. How do you take pride in your approach? Like you talk about swing at good pitches, and we all know if baseball was that easy, we're only swinging at good pitches, good things happen, right? But how do you take pride in not only being a slugger and being able to show other facets of your offense?
Yeah, I never really try to label myself as like a power hitter, because that limits me to one thing. I'd call myself a hitter. Like, I get up there and I want to hit, and I get in there with that mindset that that pitcher's not better than me. I'm better than whoever's up there. So just digging in the box and competing, not really trying to hit homers or do anything crazy, just getting there, be a hitter, use the backside of the field, use the pull side of the throw in. So, I mean, just getting in there and just being a hitter.
Where does that come from? Is that confidence? Is that reps? Where does being a hitter become, you know, your daily job, obviously?
Yeah, kind of confidence. I mean, my dad instilled that into me early. He told me to use the backside of the field. You know, whenever I try to get too big, that's when I struggle a little bit. So, I mean, just trying to stay short, stay simple, and, I mean, getting there and, like I said, competing.
Looking around and on your club right now down there in Biloxi, there's a lot of talent, not just you. And obviously everybody wants to talk about the kid at short and Jesus Madey. I mean, to think about being about to be 19 years old and what he's doing on the baseball field. And I know you just fielded a throw from him that hit triple digits yesterday too. How do you explain him, just him first, and we'll talk to your other teammates too, but him first as your teammate, what you've seen from him coming up in the Brewers org?
He's a special player, obviously. Watch him hit these triples, and it looks like he's barely jogging around the bases. But, I mean, he gets there with ease. And, I mean, same thing in the box. Looks like he's not even trying, and he's hitting balls 105, 110, whatever he's doing. But great, great player, switch hitter, obviously. He's going to be playing for a long time. And, I mean, Milwaukee should be excited.
Well, they
should get up there.
Yeah, I mean, they should be excited about a lot of guys on that team. How about even Dylan, healthy, back off to a great start for him, for Dylan O'Rey. You know, for somebody that, you know, pays attention to the organization as close as I do, but then, you know, sometimes fans get locked in on the top 10 prospects and don't realize how much talent there is otherwise. And I think Dylan O'Rey is a guy that really fits that. How's he been as a teammate for you?
Great. I mean, he's over there at second. So, I mean, we're always talking to each other throughout the game, whether it's serious or just making jokes to each other. Always talking. So, I mean, hitting behind him and Made, it's really fun because I normally have a chance to drive somebody in whenever I get to the plate. So, I mean, he's been fun to watch. But, I mean, this, if you go through, like, the whole farm system, there's someone on every team who's not highly ranked or something like that that I think is a really good player. So, I mean, that speaks to what this farm has. And, I mean, it's an exciting time for Milwaukee.
So, I mean, you're in your second full season, third year in the organization. How different really is it from that first draft year, right? You have that first off season as a professional, you're kind of still going through the car wash, and then that first full normal off season where it's like, okay, I made it to AA and you get assigned to AA to start. Take me into the off season mentally for you now working your way up in the farm.
I mean, kind of just trying to start off where I finished last year, you know, having that confidence at the plate, having that swing. Kind of just carry on from that. And I mean, not change too much because I know who I am. I know what type of player I am, and just kind of growing in my game and getting stronger, all that stuff, working around at first base. I mean, just doing the small, simple things that can make me better as a player. And I mean, wherever they send me this year, I was going to play my game, and that's what I'm trying to do.
What are those things that you feel like you still have growth to do? What are the things that you're excited to work on every day at the ballpark?
I'd say my body for sure. That's one thing, get stronger. Speed, I get better, and then defensively I can get a lot better. I mean, I can get better in every area. I could point something out, but defensively I could make a little better plays. Those 50-50 balls can be made more often, and that's kind of like my main focus right now.
Take me into working with your manager, Mikey G. I mean, I know he works a lot with the middle infielders, but he can help out a first baseman too. His infield experience and his coaching experience is really, really long list. What's it like having Mikey G as your skipper this year?
It's fun. I love Mikey. We worked a lot in spring training last year, and then this year, obviously, and we're out there every day doing something, you know, to improve these little things. And I mean, I know he's going to help out every single person in the infield, and whoever talks to Mike, he just gets better from that point on, because he's just that good. Early, he told me to use the backside of the field. You know, whenever I try to get too big, that's when I struggle a little bit. So, I mean, just trying to stay short, stay simple, and, I mean, getting there and, like I said, competing.
Looking around and on your club right now down there in Biloxi, there's a lot of talent, not just you. And obviously everybody wants to talk about the kid at short and Jesus Madey. I mean, to think about being about to be 19 years old and what he's doing on the baseball field. And I know you just fielded a throw from him that hit triple digits yesterday too. How do you explain him, just him first, and we'll talk to your other teammates too, but him first as your teammate, what you've seen from him coming up in the Brewers org?
He's a special player, obviously. Watch him hit these triples, and it looks like he's barely jogging around the bases. But, I mean, he gets there with ease. And, I mean, same thing in the box. Looks like he's not even trying, and he's hitting balls 105, 110, whatever he's doing. But great, great player, switch hitter, obviously. He's going to be playing for a long time. And, I mean, Milwaukee should be excited.
Well,
to get up there.
Yeah, I mean, they should be excited about a lot of guys on that team. How about even Dylan, healthy, back off to a great start for him, for Dylan O'Rey. You know, for somebody that, you know, pays attention to the organization as close as I do, but then, you know, sometimes fans get locked in on the top 10 prospects and don't realize how much talent there is otherwise. And I think Dylan O'Rey is a guy that really fits that. How's he been as a teammate for you?
Great. I mean, he's over there at second. So, I mean, we're always talking to each other throughout the game, whether it's serious or just making jokes to each other. Always talking. So, I mean, Hidden behind him and Madey, it's really fun because I normally have a chance to drive somebody in whenever I get to the plate. So, I mean, he's been fun to watch. But, I mean, this, if you go through, like, the whole farm system, there's someone on every team who's not highly ranked or something like that that I think is a really good player. So, I mean, that speaks to what this farm has. And, I mean, it's an exciting time for Milwaukee.
So, I mean, you're in your second full season, third year in the organization. How different really is it from that first draft year, right? You have that first off season as a professional, you're kind of still going through the car wash, and then that first full normal off season where it's like, okay, I made it to double A and you get assigned to double A to start the year. Take me into the off season mentally for you now working your way up in the farm.
I mean, kind of just trying to start off where I finished last year, you know, having that confidence at the plate, having that swing. Kind of just carry on from that. And I mean, not change too much because I know who I am. I know what type of player I am, and just kind of growing in my game and, getting stronger, all that stuff, working around at first base. I mean, just doing the small, simple things that can make me better as a player. And I mean, wherever they sent me this year, I was going to play my game, and that's what I'm trying to do.
What are those things that you feel like you still have growth to do? What are the things that you're excited to work on every day at the ballpark?
I'd say my body for sure. That's one thing. Get stronger. Speed, I get better, and then defensively I can get a lot better. I mean, I can get better in every area. I could point something out, but defensively I could make a little better plays. Those 50-50 balls can be made more often, and that's kind of like my main focus right now.
Take me into working with your manager, Mikey G. I mean, I know he works a lot with the middle infielders, but he can help out a first baseman too. His infield experience and his coaching experience is really, really long list. What's it like having Mikey G as your skipper this year?
It's fun. I love Mikey. We worked a lot in spring training last year, and then this year, obviously, and we're out there every day doing something, you know, to improve these little things. And I mean, I know he's going to help out every single person in the infield, and whoever talks to Mike, he just gets better from that point on, because he's just that good in the infield. So, I mean, just having him as a manager, it's pretty cool.
More from Blake in just a moment. Take our last break of the program. I hear on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Let's continue on with our interview with Brewers first base prospect Blake Burke here on Brewers Weekly. When you look up and down this organization, I know you got a taste a good amount in spring training too this year, over helping out the big league side as well. When you look around, are there guys, whether it be on the minor league side or even on the big league side, that have really helped you out, that you're pointing to saying, like,
a relationship that you really has helped grow as a prospect for you?
Yeah. I mean, played with Cooper Pratt probably for a total of a year, maybe. Talking to him, it has helped me a lot. Brock Wilkin, another guy. I mean, I can go on and on naming people. Luke Adams, a bunch of people have helped me just with kind of like preparation stuff. And I mean, you know, what to expect and all that. So, I mean, kind of had to grow a little bit in that area, like what works for me and like what my preparation is going to be. But those guys kind of set me up for that.
So let's go back to the SEC days in Tennessee. I mean, we hear this all the time in the minor leagues where, you know, there's a big jump between high A and double A, and then obviously the biggest jump between triple A and the show. What is the jump like now for you going from high level College World Series Tennessee to pro ball, and what you've learned about what SEC baseball has taught you about being a professional?
You're going to face some good guys, and you kind of just have to deal with that and trust yourself. And I mean, being in those like big games, those crazy games, it kind of prepares you for like the big moments or like the end of the game at bats or something. Like, you know, to just slow your heart rate down and just believe in what you got. And I mean, just play your game. So I mean, stuff like that has helped. And I've had to kind of adapt to like the whole preparation thing, whereas like in college, you're kind of like stretching as a team, you're hitting as a team, you're doing infield as a team. Here, it's like, do what you need to do to get ready for this game and go out there and play. So, I mean, that's one thing that had to change.
It's different, right? It's your job now, right? You don't got homework, you don't have classes. It's just, what can I work on? You're thinking about baseball. You got to have time away from the field. Was there an adjustment period for that for you, like when you first got drafted, to understanding like, okay, like you talk about, I've got to create my own routine. But, you know, I don't mean this as like a bad way, but it's just everybody goes through. It's like, well, what is my routine, right? Like, how did you go through that?
It was tough at first. Like, it was just a little weird because I didn't know like what to do. And like, I had no idea what I needed to do to get ready. Or I did know, but it was just weird to like with the timing and all that stuff, like before the game, like, what do I need to do before this meeting? And then after this meeting, what am I going to do from this point forward? Like, when am I going to rest? When am I going to go do something? So just trying to figure that out. And it took me probably to the end of my first full season to kind of get a grasp on that. And I mean, probably still need to work on it a little bit, but it's getting there.
I promise you, there are guys in the big league clubhouse that are still working on it too. It's going to be it's a race forever to find your routine and that sort of thing. I want to go back to your high school days, man. I mean, De La Salle, Bay Area guy. How the heck did you end up at Tennessee?
I only had two scholarships coming out of high school. So it was Cal Berkeley and Tennessee. So I wanted to play in the SEC, wanted to win, and decided to go to Tennessee. I love the coaching staff there, obviously. Elander was a big part in recruiting me and getting me over there. So ended up going with them, and feel like I made the right decision.
Well, when I look back, I remember the interview last year of Paul Skeens and Tarek Skouvel at the All-Star game talking about how they only had like two college offers coming out of high school, and then they both end up winning Cy Youngs. And here you are, you're a day one pick, and you had two offers coming out of high school. Yes, D1 offers, but what's the mental battle of like, man, I'm a good player, just, you know, one of the best high school teams in Northern California, and only two schools really want me. I was like, was there a mental struggle of like, well, I know I want to play college baseball, and Tennessee clearly wanted you badly enough, and it all worked out in the end. But what was it like that senior year, even junior year, of just trying to figure out where you wanted to go?
I mean, it kind of sucks when you look up there and you're not valued as much as you think you are. And I mean, kind of just had to deal with it and go out there and play. But I mean, I was blessed to get the offer from Tennessee, and I've continued to prove people wrong, and I feel like I will continue to do so. So I mean, I'm not too worried about the rankings or anything. Just go out there and play my game, and like I said, I'm pretty confident up there, and I know my value. So,
well, you're talking to a guy that spent a lot of time in the East Bay. I gotta ask, I mean, who was your guy on those A's teams growing up that you just maybe you emulated? Maybe it doesn't even have to be an A. It could be another big leaguer that you watched growing up saying, like, man, like that's the style of game that I want to be.
I used to love watching Matt Olson. Matt Olson and Josh Donaldson, those two guys were awesome to watch. I mean, Matt Olson, just because he's a kind of a player fit for me, first baseman, lefty hitter. He kind of made these like fun defensive plays where like you throw a guy out at third, no outs, runner on second, stuff like that. And then the way that Donaldson played the game, it was fun to watch. I mean, ended up winning MVP the year after he left. So, I mean, the way he went out there with that attitude, like, I'm better than you, we're going to win. And it was just awesome to watch him play.
It was good to see him for a couple of months here in Milwaukee a couple of seasons ago when the Brewers picked him up. And he still had that edge, I promise you. Even though it was the very end of his career, he still had that energy and that sort of like, yeah, I am better than you. I have been in the show. And that's a fun trip down memory lane for me as a guy that spent a lot of time around those Oakland A's teams. But when I look at your trajectory right now and what I look at for your rest of the season, right? I see there's a Knoxville trip in July, but you know, everyone wants to be moving up, but how is that date circled? Is it like, hey, I can't control, you know, where I go or that sort of thing, but you know, in July, you with Biloxi, you'll be there in Knoxville. Maybe you'll have a full parade heroes welcome by that time, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I have no say in where I'm going at any time. So, I mean, if I make it there, then I make it there. I'd be excited to play in Knoxville again, but I mean, played there last year. It was a lot of fun. Got a standing ovation my first at-bat. Probably my first couple at-bats, actually. But that was a lot of fun. Got to see all my coaches, all my friends from there. It was a lot of fun. So, I mean, if I make it back there, I'd be happy. But also be happy to move up.
How long was the pass list for those games last season?
They got pretty long. I had to ask a couple guys for some tickets.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier, man, as you keep working up. I promise you that. It gets harder and harder. Well, I just want to say thanks for the time, man. Best of luck. Stay healthy. And hopefully see you up here in the ballpark here sooner as opposed to later.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you for having me.
Again, my thanks to Blake Burke and a big thank you to Javik Blake, the AA voice of the Biloxi Shuckers. He's been there for a couple of seasons. Fantastic, fantastic star on the up and up in the Brewers farm. That is going to do it for this episode as the Brewers head to our nation's capital for a 6-game road trip, 3 with the Nats and then 3 with the St. Louis Cardinals before their next off day. So we will have updates with post-game shows all weekend long. We also have a pre-game show before Saturday's game. That is a 3 o'clock start on Saturday. We're on the air at 2. We're on the air for a 6:40 start on Friday night as well. So we hope you can tune in. But we have post-game shows all weekend long. And if you miss it, Brewers All Access wherever you get your podcasts or over on the 620 WTMJ YouTube page. Thank you again for watching or listening here on Brewers Weekly. My name is Dominic Catronio. Keep on swinging.